Well, welcome to Real Life. We are so excited that you're with us tonight. If this is your first night, we are so glad you chose to come. We got a slogan around here that if it's your first time, you are a guest, but if you come back, you are family. And so we are so grateful that you're with us. Want to give a happy birthday shout out to Hannah Cox. Today is her birthday. We love you, girl. You sang good tonight. Can we give it up for our band and Pastor Jonah? We love you guys. Thank you for serving us every single week. This is week two of our identity series. We are calling My Name Is. And each week we're taking the name that is this ministry, Real Life Student Ministries, and we're communicating our core values. We have been reached by the love of Jesus. We engage in Christian community. We advance in our faith so that we can lead others to Jesus. That is our mantra. That's a part of our identity. And last week was all about the love of Jesus and how it's reached us. Amen? Many of us were deeply impacted. And if you missed it, I want to encourage you to download the Real Life app. It is totally for free, and all of our sermon content is in the app. There's the Bible app integrated into our app. It will give you notifications of events. It will keep you up to date. And there's actually sermon notes for tonight in our app. So if you wanted to take some notes with your phone instead of playing whatever you're playing, download the app. The link to download it is in our bio on Real Life Columbus Instagram. Look in the bio there and download it for free. And I want to start tonight. I'm going to try my best not to get emotional. But I'm here tonight to share first and foremost that I would not be the same person without the people that are in my life. Can I get a witness tonight? Can somebody help me preach? I would not be the man I am today without the people God has put in my path. I am a passionate, fun-loving, adventurous, good person, and that's solely because I surround myself with those types of people. I rub shoulders with the coolest people on the planet, in my opinion. For example, I don't just go to church, y'all. I don't just sit in a pew when I come to church. I engage in Christian community. I serve on a church staff for employment, but can I tell you, our church staff does life together. We don't just have a job. We live life together. We spend time together. We go to apple orchards and pick apples together as families. We let our kids play together. We do life together. We share the problems, the struggles, the reality that we're facing. And, for example, I meet on a weekly basis with a handful of people, and they encourage me, they inspire me, they challenge me, they correct me when I need it, even though that doesn't feel the best. They correct me, they lift me up when I'm discouraged. They notice when I walk into a room and they say, is something wrong? They know me well enough to see when I'm hurting, and they encourage me. They pray for me when I have needs. They share their devotional life with me. They share what they're getting from God's word, and I share what I get from God's word with them. Here's what I'm trying to communicate. All my success in this life is directly connected to who I'm engaging in community with. Everything good that is produced out of my life is because of all the people around me. Tonight, I've got a challenge for you. Tonight, as we begin, the challenge is simple. If you're not satisfied with who you're becoming, you need to take a hard look at who you're surrounding yourself with. If you're not satisfied, I hope they get that on the screen, because that good preaching right there. Can I get a witness? If you are not satisfied right now, and I know what that feels like, there's been times in my life where I have not been satisfied with who I am. I need to take a hard look at who I'm surrounding myself with. Some of us are not confident in our faith right now because we're not engaging with the right community. If you show me your friends, I will show you your future. If you hang out with thugs, guess what? You're going to act like a thug. If you rub shoulders with the top of your class, you will be a better academic. You'll get to that 4.0 goal, girl. I heard you before service. There's some people I've been hanging out with at Real Life, some young men, and they've got what used to be the key term, swagger. Some young men in this ministry I've been hanging out with for a little bit, and they think, you know, it's important to rock some ice around your neck. And so for the longest time, I've been trying. I'm trying to engage with them. I'm trying to, every time we have a special event, I'm like, yo, Daniel, can you hook me up with a chain, boy? Can you get me a chain to rock? And your pastor tonight, I've rubbed shoulders enough with Daniel. Look who got the chain gang going tonight. I still got to get, I got to give me a little piece to hang down on like Stephen Furtick, but it's coming. It's coming. You rub off on one another. You become like one another. If your friends are bougie, you are going to be bougie. If you spend the most time with people that are full of drama, oh my goodness, your life is going to be dramatic. There is a life verse of mine that I would recommend you memorizing, everyone in this room, and it is Proverbs 13, verse 20. It says, he who walks with the wise will grow wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Who you engage with in community is going to change your life for the better, or it's going to make your life hell. You've got to protect yourself. I could not make it through life with a constant support system. I am a pastor, but guess what? I am a fallible, despicable man if I'm left to my own despicable self. I've got to have a support system. I'm a failure without a community to make me better and hold me accountable. Can I get a witness? In high school, I would have been an addicted, wilding-out dropout. I'm just being real because that's a part of my personality. I've got an addictive personality. And if I had not been connected with a group of people that inspired me to live according to the high calling that God had placed on my life, guys, I wouldn't be here tonight. I would have destroyed my life in high school if I would have tried to succeed on my own and tried to succeed alone and isolated. I'm here hoping to inspire someone. You're a loner and you keep to yourself. You need Christian community. You've got to have somebody to help you. God knows I could not have made it through college without my incredible, brilliant, smoking hot wife, Miss Jubilee. She helped me learn how to study. She ignited a passion for learning in me that still thrives in me to this day. I love to learn, and it's all because she helped me love to learn. She whipped me into shape, boy. And literally, I wouldn't be in shape physically if it weren't for my prenup that me and Jubilee signed before we got married. We didn't really sign a prenup. We're not that cool. But we did have this agreement that, guess what? We promised each other we would not allow ourselves to be fat. And so you know, I am a fat kid trapped in a skinny man's body. I love to eat, and I really love to eat. Who loves to eat in this house? Hallelujah. I would be fat without my wife's encouragement, y'all. We have been doing this thing for the past 2 weeks. Every single night, we have been running together with our dog, Duke. He's pretty awesome. And he's not even half as cool as my wife. She's incredible. She's the most exciting part of the run. Just making that clear, the dog is a dog. I got a wife, y'all. Praise Jesus. And the past few weeks, each night, we run together. I encourage her because last night she was like, it's 10 o'clock. I've sweated all day long. I don't want to sweat anymore. And so I got my shoes on, and she's like, what? You're running? I'm like, yeah, babe, sorry, we've done it every day past 2 weeks. And she's like, okay, I guess I got to go too. So I encourage her. She encourages me when I'm like, oh, man, I've dealt with so much today. I don't want to run. She's like, get your shoes on, boy. You know, she's a lot. She can do that because I'm a knucklehead and I need that. And so she makes me, y'all, she makes me a better man every single day of my life. She makes me better. Here's the deal. I could not be a good father to my three precious children without the many mentors and leaders I have pouring into my life. Watching Gabe Wheelis take his daughter on a special date makes me a better dad. So many of my closest friends place such a high value on their own children that it inspires me to get to Damien's baseball games, to take Sophia on a date, to dress up with my son Lucas as a superhero. It makes me want to be a better father because of the men that are in my life that do that for their own children. I need to make memories with my kids because I rub shoulders with people who are prioritizing their families in a fatherless generation. And so I'm becoming a better man because of who I rub shoulders with. In a world that is superficially connected on a phone through social media platforms, but reality, they're disconnected in real life, man, we've got something special in the family that we have here at Real Life. We've got to learn how to engage in it. I couldn't be a successful minister of the gospel without the vital community we have here with one another, the leaders, the volunteers. The success Real Life experiences is not because of me. I want to reiterate that very clearly. The success that we experience at Real Life is not because of me. I am a voice piece, and I'm used by God, but it is the many people who engage in this Christian community that make this place special. That's what makes this place special. It's because of the parents that are serving us at events like our end-of-the-year celebration prom to give us the best possible experience. We should probably clap for them because they serve us so well. It's because of the CLC students who help make me seem not so old and out of touch. We should probably clap for them too. Thank you. It's because of our fine arts coaches who are patient with us and don't allow us to settle for anything but excellence. Real Life is an incredible ministry because we engage in Christian community. For me and for many of us in this room, Real Life has become so much more than a service to attend. Amen? It's become a family. It's become a support system. It takes work, y'all. It's hard. When you live close with people, they have the ability to hurt you, so it's hard. Sometimes it's not easy, and we're not perfect, so we mess stuff up. But God has called us to love one another, to support one another, to engage in this Christian community. Our incentive to bring our friends should not be just a simple backpack full of stuff. It should be we've got something special at this place that we want other people to experience for themselves because this is a family. My point is this, Real Life. The people you choose to surround your life with will either give you strength to stand or they will drag you down. The people you surround yourself with will strengthen you or drag you down. There are people who will want the best for you, like your youth pastor and the leaders of this ministry. And then there's people who want the best from you. There's a big difference. People who want the best for you and people who want the best from you. Some people will give you more than they can ever get from you. And others will try and take everything from you without giving anything back in return. So you've got to be intentional with who you engage in community with. God enlightened the eyes of our understanding to tell the difference between the true brother and sister in Christ and a leech that will drop us the moment things go wrong. Guys, we've got to be careful who we connect our lives to, because if we are not wise, as soon as there's a fire, as soon as there's a difficulty, as soon as there's a struggle or a trial, people we thought we could trust and rely on will leave us and abandon us when trouble comes our way. So we've got to have a family. The Bible story we're going to look at tonight is incredibly relatable with the high school experience, in my opinion. High school is hard. Can I get a witness on week 2? It's a struggle. high school is a dark system. Praise Jesus. It's a dark system with many times a toxic environment. Walking down the hallways, you see and witness and hear things that you're exposed to things that you shouldn't be exposed to at times. Amen. Daniel and his friends were in a similar place. The foreign nation of Babylon had defeated Jerusalem, and Daniel and his friends found themselves in slavery. Their taskmasters, get this, they began a process of enslaving them and a process of making them learn Babylonian culture and forced them into a 3-year program to learn. Sounds a lot like high school to me. Can I get a witness? You have to be there. You got no choice. The government forces you. It's going to be years of your life, and you're going to be learning things that you may not want to learn. You may be learning things that you may or may not use in your future. And it feels like you are a slave. And a lot of what you're doing is being forced on you. Praise Jesus. Can I get a witness? Huh. I thought, you know, the context of this story really applies to our everyday life right now. I believe that Daniel's story tonight, hear this, I believe Daniel's story is going to teach us that we are able to maintain our identity in the darkness around us when we don't try to do it alone. We're able to maintain our identity as Christians, as believers, as men and women of character and virtue in a dark and destructive environment. We're able to maintain our identity if we don't try to do it alone. When we engage in Christian community, the scripture says this in Daniel chapter 1. It says, among those were chosen for training were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. Daniel became Belteshazzar, Hananiah became Shadrach, Mishael became Meshach, and Azariah became Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself. Hear that. He resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine as he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. High school, like I have already said, is incredibly hard. The temptations that are in front of you are extensive. Daniel and his friends had the king's table available to them. That means they had choice wine, they had the best meat in town, they had anything and everything at their disposal, and a lot of what was available went directly against what God desired. Sounds a lot like high school to me in our current culture. There is an instant access to multiple vices that can drag us down and destroy our lives that we have access to. On top of having access to so much, we encounter the influence of so many around us giving in and enjoying all that's available to us. Because every slave next to Daniel and his friends were pulled up and eating at the king's table. Everyone was bowing down, but Daniel asked not to defile himself. Students, we have got to come to the place where we realize conformity seems safe. And it seems satisfying in the moment, but that type of safety is a facade that will not last. When you bow to the kingdom of this world and you give in and you do what everybody's doing, man, it feels safe in the moment, but it will place you in a very dangerous place. They were in slavery. They had to go to class just like you. They had to be surrounded with people who were doing things that tempted them to compromise just like you. But what they had to give them strength not to conform is they had community. They had one another. They had brothers to rely on and lean on. They weren't alone. And the story keeps going in verse 12. Daniel says, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food. And treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, y'all, this is cool. They looked healthier, holla. They looked better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and wine and gave them vegetables instead. to these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding and all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds at the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service. The chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. All of this is plural. It's not singular. It is them, they, us, they, we. And so at the time, they were brought to the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, and the king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered into the king's service, and in every manner of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in the whole kingdom. 10 times better. Please hear this truth tonight. Guys, when we refuse to participate in what the kingdom of this world has to offer, we will have a major advantage over those who conform. When we choose to stand when everybody else bows, man, we will immediately be given the anointing of heaven and be at an advantage over all those who choose to conform. Many times we identify people by what they do, right? That person's a football player. That guy's a pothead. That girl is never lonely, if you know what I'm talking about, right? But I want us to realize through God's word tonight, guys, our identity is being formed by what we refuse. Our identity is formed by what we refuse. What we say no to defines who we are just as much as what we say yes to. I love you so, so very much, and I'm so grateful to be a part of this community, and I always want to tell you the truth. And it's the truth that because Daniel and his friends abstained from the things others indulged in, they were 10 times better for it. But here's the reality of life that requires us to be engaged in Christian community. The reality is this, and this is the hard truth. When we begin to take a stand against the evil this culture tries to force on us, it will not make life easier. When we take a stand, guys, guess what? I'm just trying to prepare you because I love you. It's going to be hard. It's going to make life tough. When you say, no, thank you, I don't want to do that, it's going to hurt. But I've come tonight to tell somebody, don't be afraid of this truth. My Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful, praise Jesus. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. That's God's word, and he is true to it. It may not come easily, but God is faithful to give us a way of escape. The reality is that many times the moment you make a decision for Christ, an attack from hell is most likely on its way. As soon as you make a decision, I'm going to do this. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to repent, which means I'm going to turn and go a different direction. That is immediately when a target is placed on your back by the enemy of your soul. On top of the attack, mind games come, right? The deception comes. One of the biggest lies, the enemy, man, you are the only one struggling with this, and you are so terrible. There's no way. You've done it so many times already, so there's no way you're going to break the habit now, so why even try? The mind games begin. One of the biggest lies the enemy of your soul will try to convince you of is that you're alone in your struggle. You're alone in your difficult situation. But I've come to tell somebody that God will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus is a friend that sticks closer to you than a brother. He is our ever-present help in time of need. But I've also come to encourage us as a community. God has given us one another to support one another. One of the powerful tools that he gives us to resist the devil is the people that are surrounding you right now. It's a force. That's why it's so vital to engage in Christian community that God has given us. It's important because major victories are not won in isolation, but in community. Major victories are won when you fight together, not alone. Man, as soon as Daniel and his friends were promoted from making the right choices, man, the king commanded, this is what happened, this is what I'm trying to describe. The king demanded that everyone bow down and worship a golden image. an idol that was created to display this king's power. There was no getting around this one. There was no one to ask, hey, can we abstain from that too? Because it was the king's command. Every day, musicians would play, and that was the signal for everybody to face an idol and bow down in worship. The king's command was that if anyone did not obey, they would be thrown into a fiery furnace and burned to death. Everyone was obeying the evil command of the king, but Daniel and his friends once again refused to conform. Once again, they stood together. Can I share with you tonight, if you don't feel like you have the strength to conform, the tool that it takes? Guys, we can have confidence to stand when the vast majority around us bows down, when we don't stand alone. Something happens. Energy on the inside happens when we choose not to stand alone. Something inspires us. The story continues, and it says in chapter 3, verse 13, it says, furious with rage, King Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar said to them, guys, is this true, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, that you don't serve my gods or worship the image of gold that I have set up? Surely that's not true, y'all. Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all kinds of music, guys, if you're ready to just get over this mess, if you're ready to just bow down, everybody else is doing it. Don't make this hard on yourself or on us. When you're ready to fall down and worship the image I have made, then very good. But get this very clear. If you don't worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? What a threat. Oh, but I love this next part. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, not just one of them, it says all three, all of them together, standing together, they said, oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve will be able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. And guess what, King? Even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve you or your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. Real life, I've come to support and challenge and inspire someone in this room. Someone needs to hear tonight that supernatural confidence is found when you do not stand by yourself. Supernatural confidence to look at the very darkness that is trying to tear you apart. It happens when you don't stand alone. A supernatural energy begins when we stand together. Worship becomes transformational when 200 people lift their hands and their voices with passion. When we reveal the outreach that we're about to do, we've got it planned for October, and it's coming soon. We anticipate more than 400 in this auditorium on a weekly basis, and we will feel the power of us coming together. We will feel a synergy, a supernatural confidence will rise in this student ministry when we come together and not stand by ourselves. Guys, we're about to have an altar call in just a few minutes. And something powerful happens. I watch it week in and week out. Something happens because there's that awkward moment where I pray and I'm like, if you need prayer, please come. And I'm like, oh, please come because I know you need prayer. And I'm like, put myself out there like Jesus loves you. He wants to heal you. You're forgiven. Let's pray. And everybody stands there and it's awkward, right? And it's weird. And it's like, oh my gosh, if he looks at me, I'm going to throw up in my mouth, right? But something happens when that first person takes a step of faith and walks out. Because as soon as they step out and start walking to that altar, someone else sees it and says, hey, wait a second, if they can do it, I can do it. And then they go, and then when two people are up there, they're like, wait a second, there's a few people responding. I need Jesus, let's go. And whole groups of friends start coming. Something happens. There's a supernatural courage and confidence that takes place when we dare to step out in faith together. Amen? We were created by God for community. So can I encourage you, don't sit back. Don't be a spectator. Don't sit on the sidelines. Don't just show up and sit in the back and don't talk to anybody. Engage. Engage in Christian community. We can live together or we can die alone, real life. I feel like there are too many of us in this room tonight that don't feel like they belong. There's too many of us in this room who feel isolated. There's too many of us in this room who feel like there's no one to support them, no one to love them, no one to stand with them in their struggle. And that is a lie from hell. Let me be the first to say, I want to stand with you. And I know a group of at least 60 people who want to stand with you as well. And so tonight, as I invite the band to come, tonight God is encouraging us as a student ministry. It's a part of who we are to engage in Christian community. Tonight, if you feel lonely, I've come to tell you, man, loneliness is God's cry for intimacy with you. The only reason you're alone right now is because God wants you all to himself. And use that loneliness to draw near to him, because if you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Man, I've come to encourage people. If you are facing things in life right now and you feel like they're burning you alive and no one knows about it, God has sent me to tell you that you don't have to face the fire alone. We're here to be your extended family, and all you have to do is engage. All you have to do is try. Guys, I've never been perfect. I'm just going to be very real. I've never been perfect. I'm a pastor, but I have had to be forgiven time and time and time again. I am a man in need of the grace of God. And God has called me to be a leader, to stand when others bow down. And there have been plenty of times, real life, just being transparent, there's been plenty of times where I have failed to do what is right. I heard the music in my own life, and I bowed when I should have stood. But Proverbs 24:16 promises me, the righteous man may fall 7 times, but he gets back up again. Amen? Please hear my heart tonight, real life. Every time I have failed, every time I have bowed when I should have stood my ground, every time I have conformed to the patterns of this world when I should have been transformed by the renewing of my mind, every time, it's because in those struggles and in those temptations and when life gets hardest, every time I failed, guys, it's because I've tried to stand alone. Every time, it's because I've tried on my own strength, in my own power, by myself, in my own ability. I tried to stand alone. I tried to stand by myself. And there have been times I have had to learn the hard way, but we don't heal in isolation. We heal in Christian community. We don't get the victory when we try to fight our own battles by ourselves. We fight and we get the victory when we fight together. Scripture says that one person could put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000. There are strength in numbers. Daniel and his friends stood together. And so I'm going to ask us to stand together right now. Leaders, if you want to make your way to the front. Tonight, Daniel and his friends, they stood together and they faced the fire. They engaged in community. And Jesus was true to his word. And his word says this, when two or three are gathered in the name of Jesus, he's right there with us. He's in our midst. And they were protected in their time of need by the fire. The scripture continues in verse 24. It says this. Look at the screen. It says, King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement after throwing them in the fire. And he asked his advisors, weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire? And they replied, certainly, your majesty. He said to them, look, I see 4 men walking around, unbound, unharmed, and the fourth looks like the son of the gods. And Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing fiery furnace, and he shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the royal advisors crowded around them, and they saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair on their head singed, their robes were not scorched, and there was not even the smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel to rescue his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than to serve or worship any god but their own." Guys, tonight when we engage in Christian community, it will save us from the fire and show the world around us who the one true God is. When we engage, when we reach out with love, when we engage in Christian community, man, that's when we start advancing in our faith, and that gets us to a point in our lives where we can actually lead others to Jesus. Guys, my voice, listen to this. My voice is going to continue to be loud in this community. I am going to allow God to use my voice as a loud voice in this ministry, but our voices together will be so much louder. Our voices together will be so much louder than just my voice. If we choose to engage in this Christian community that God has blessed us with, I promise you, we will become a force to be reckoned with in this community, and revival will come to the Muskogee County region. Amen? So tonight, I want to invite everyone with heads bowed and eyes closed in this moment. Tonight, I recognize that there are some individuals. Please don't be a distraction. Don't talk in this moment. Some of us in this room, you feel like you're all alone, and you've made some choices. You saw the temptation and you took it. You saw the bait and you went for it, and you've been lured. You've surrounded yourself with people who have drug you down a path that is a path that leads to destruction. And you know that when God's word says wide is the path to destruction, but narrow is the path to eternal life, man, you know that you're not walking in the narrow path. You're doing what everyone else is doing. You're conforming. The same things that are being publicized about moral failures and situations where people are being wrapped up in sexual sin, the same things are on your phone that are on those people's phones. And you're in a situation where you've tried to fight because you're a good person. There's nothing intrinsically bad about you. The problem is you've been trying for a long time to be a good person, but you've been trying to fight alone. And you've not gotten the victory because you're all alone and you feel abandoned. But I'm here tonight to tell you, if that's you, Jesus wants to be close to you right now. He wants to forgive you. He wants to fight with you. He wants to stand next to you. He wants to wrap his arms of love around you. And he wants to show you that you're not alone, that you don't have to fight by yourself any longer. He's already won the victory for you on Calvary's cross. And so he wants to give you the freedom, the victory, and salvation tonight, if that's you. So right now you feel abandoned. You feel lonely. You feel like you're on the way to destruction. And you want to turn your life around, the first step is very simple. It's accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So if that's you tonight, with every head bowed, every eye closed, all across this room, if you know your relationship with God is strained and you want it to be right tonight, I want you to lift up your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. You want to be right with God tonight. You want him to forgive you. It's available right now. Thank you. I see you. I see you. Anyone else? Don't miss this moment. The Holy Spirit's tugging on your heart. He wants to forgive you. The shame that you've been walking in, you don't have to walk in it anymore. He'll lift it tonight in this moment. Anyone else? Right now. Thank you, Jesus. All right, all across this room. And I want everyone to engage in this prayer. Everyone with a loud voice as a family together. Dear Jesus, I thank you for your sacrifice. I thank you that you love me enough, that you saw me valuable enough, and that you trusted me enough to die on Calvary's cross for my sin. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me when I don't deserve it. Thank you for reaching out with your love and now giving me a family to engage in Christian community with. Tonight, I'm a sinner in need of grace. So forgive me, set me free, release me, lift the burden, remove the shame, remove the guilt, remove the pressure. Help me to be free in the name of Jesus. I receive, and tonight and from now on, I live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, can we praise God?